Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Fire Drill. I'm excited to bring you a solo episode today, so it's just you and me here, guys. And this will be the last episode of 2019. I'll catch you again on the second week of January, since the next Wednesday is Christmas, and then we have New Year's, and then after that, I'll be back. Now let's first do a quick review of the last year on Fire Drill Podcast. So first, I want to talk about the five most downloaded episodes. So I take the most downloaded episodes to be the ones that you guys were most interested in because you probably shared them with other people. So the first one is A Purple Life. That is actually a really good friend of mine in Seattle, and her internet fame is that she lives on $18,000 per year in a high cost of living city of Seattle. And she will retire at age 30 next year with $500,000 in net worth and investments. I really like A Purple Life story because she is an example of how you can do this in a high cost of living city. Now, she does have a high salary, but she's also a super saver. I mean, $18,000 a year is amazing. And I can attest, because we've hung out many times in Seattle, that she is still doing things like going out in the city, but she's very smart. She's a great planner. So when we do hang out, it's like we're going to hang out on this specific day, like Sunday karaoke has a $3 per hour happy hour at this place. And she just knows everything, and she's a super organized person. So I think all of those skills have come together for her, as well as a lot of dedication to allow her to retire at age 30. So definitely check out her blog, and I will link in the show notes to her episode with us. Next, the second most downloaded episode was The Great Mortgage Payoff Debate, which was a community-driven episode where I asked all of you guys via email, do you think that you should pay off your mortgage early, or should you ride out the full 30 years or 15 years or whatever your mortgage is? And we actually couldn't come to a full consensus. I think a lot of people liked the peace of mind of paying off your mortgage. Some argued that it's better to invest in other things because you can get a higher return given that interest rates are at historic lows. But overall, I think it's a you do you situation. It was a really cool discussion though. So I'll link to that one in the show notes as well. And then we had our episode with Grant Sabatier. That was the third most downloaded. And Grant is the author of the Financial Freedom book. He's a really cool guy, and he achieved $1 million net worth by age 30 as well. While people are doing a lot of things by age 30, I think on this podcast, I got to get people doing things by other ages in 2020. But Grant has an awesome book. He's a cool guy. And he did a Financial Freedom book tour where he actually rode around in a Volkswagen van and lived out of the van and had a bunch of meetups this year. So some of you guys may have actually went to his meetup and met him in person. But I really recommend his book, and I'll link to that episode. The fourth most popular one was with JT, who is not a blogger. He's a member of the community. And he actually was inspired by an episode that I had on the podcast the year prior, which was the Land Geek episode, which was about land flipping. And JT really put that into practice along with all of the other things about FIRE. And he and his family are able to hit kind of a financial freedom number that allows them to leave their 9-to-5 job. Now, he's still doing other things like land investing right now, but his story is really cool. And he has 4 kids and a really great example of the power of FI. And then the fifth most popular downloaded episode was with Tanya Hester, who she and her husband, they retired in their late 30s, early 40s, and now live in Lake Tahoe. And her blog is Our Next Life, which is a very popular blog in the FIRE space. So we're super pumped to have Tanya on. Now, I say we because there was another big event that happened this year. I started this podcast with my good friend Gwen from the blog FieryMillennials.com. And about midtime this year, Gwen decided that doing the podcast was too much, and she was busy with everything going on in her life, and blogging and podcasting and all that was sort of taking away from that, which I totally understand. This is a definite big commitment, and I think a lot of people don't know what goes on behind the scenes with blogging and podcasting, but it is a lot of work. So I totally get for Gwen. She needed more space in her life to do what she loves, and that's what FI is all about. So I miss Gwen dearly, and I know many of you who've been listening from the beginning probably miss her amazing puns and sense of humor, but we'll have to have her back on in 2020 for a life update soon. Other things that went down in the podcast this year. So I had a baby, and that was a huge life event. And thank you for those of you who sent me well wishes and continued to chat with me about it. I really appreciate that. But I didn't get a chance to really rebrand and figure out what I want this podcast to be after Gwen. So I think in 2020, I'm definitely keeping this podcast. This is one of my favorite things that I do. And connecting with you guys has been awesome. But I need to figure out, what do I want this show to be? We started out the show with an interview format because that was the most fun. We got to go and talk to all these people about financial independence, and we got really fired up. And I think that is an effective format. But other shows I've seen, they do like more solo episodes, or they do more of like a compilation or community driven stuff. So I've been listening to tons of podcasts and getting ideas. And I think in 2020, I'll kind of have the space to define the vision of Fire Drill Podcast. And if you guys have any input or opinions on that, or if you like certain formats of other shows, definitely let me know, because I'm starting to shape how I want this to be in the future. Also, I really want to say thank you to all of you guys for listening. I really appreciate your support this year. And also, I really like your support of the guests. So recently we had Caitlin Greffley on, who was someone that in her early 30s, she decided to switch careers from beer sales. She was in the beer industry and she switched, and now she's a software engineer. And I know that she told me that she loved being on the episode because a bunch of you guys reached out and said that either she inspired you in that episode or you wanted more information about her career transition. And that's kind of one of her goals, is to inspire more women in tech, particularly people who might be later or more into their career when they decide to make the move. And she really appreciated that. So I just want to say thank you, you guys. I really love when you make the guests feel good and reach out to them after. It's very much appreciated. And if you guys are shy, feel free to reach out to anyone, whether it's me or the guests. I mean, the reason that we do this is because we want to connect with people. So if you ever are listening to an episode and you want to start that conversation with anyone, I think you should totally go for it. Also with Caitlin, I thought it was kind of cool because I just saw on Twitter that she created an Etsy printable store. She's starting to create printables, and I know that she started listening to the podcast ever since I invited her on. So I didn't ask her, but I'm pretty sure that maybe this podcast influenced her to do that, because we have had a lot of printables type content on here over the years. And I thought that was kind of cool. And it definitely makes me realize that even though I started this to kind of get information for myself and share it, I think this podcast is influencing others to do cool things too. And that's something that I definitely appreciate at this point in my life and my career. I feel like this is really making an impact. That being said, someone on Instagram asked me, how do you do all this, like all the side hustles that you do and, you know, having a baby and all that? And truthfully is that I'm not doing it very well. When it was just my husband and I could lock myself away till like 2 a.m. every day, or kind of give up things on the weekends to focus on everything that I did. But now that I have this other human that I'm trying to keep happy and alive and thriving, the time just isn't there. And it's really hard, actually. So I'm giving myself some grace in this period of my life. Like this episode, for example, went out a day later than it typically does. And I'm just trying to figure out what my new normal is. Because before, doing all this stuff was only a matter of my own willpower. It was kind of like, because I was able-bodied and healthy and I had a job that was flexible and we had like all the right things in place in order to do this. So it was more like, how tough am I? Like, am I tough enough to like get through, you know, a little bit of a lack of sleep or whatever to do all these side hustles? But now it's like a whole other thing. So I'm still figuring it out. I'm still figuring out how to like work with my husband and negotiate on the time off in a way that we have from being parents to kind of continue to do the things that we love to do. And also have time for leisure and work and all that. So I think hopefully in 2020, it'll be a little better. He actually got 3 months of paternity leave through his employer. And I am applying for the new Washington paid state leave, which will give you a certain amount of money from the state every single month. It's like an insurance program that we've been paying into. And I'm excited to see like kind of how we can balance this out with both of us off. Because right now he still had work and I'm kind of like scrambling a little bit to meet all my commitments. So I guess this is my long-winded way of saying that if before you guys felt like my story wasn't really relatable because it felt like I was just doing everything and doing all the side hustles, now I'm totally like overwhelmed by everything. So I definitely feel you for some of you guys that are in this situation too. But I am more motivated than ever to get stuff done, and I also find that I'm extremely efficient. this is the most efficient. I always was pretty efficient, but this is the most efficient I've ever been. So I think I'm ready in 2020 to just really give it my all, but also to be very smart about how I do things, what I say yes to, what I prioritize, and all that fun stuff. Okay, so on a personal note, I mentioned that I had a baby this year. Other big things, we bought a house in January of this year, 2019. And I am loving the decision there. I was very nervous, went back and forth. Should we buy in a high cost of living area? We live in Seattle. I wanted to live downtown in the city. And all of the houses downtown are super old. They're super small and they're insanely expensive. Not quite San Francisco, but kind of fall over on the floor when you hear the price tip expensive. But overall, I think this was the best decision that we could have made because I've mentioned on this podcast before, I really think that financial independence is a build your own burger type of thing, where what is my financial independence journey is probably going to look nothing like yours or nothing like the next person. And all of these amazing, inspiring guests that I've brought on the podcast, their financial independence journeys are going to look different from all of ours. And for us, it's very important for me to live in a kind of a tech hub because that's the part of the community that I like being a part of. Of course, the FIRE community I like being a part of, but the FIRE community is now international, really. And I've had an easy time making friends in the community in whatever city I've lived in because there are meetup groups and there are Chooseify local groups and all that. But I really like being part of a tech hub. I go to a lot of events. I go to a lot of like women in tech events. For example, last night I went to an event, an angel investing event, actually, that was part of the F-Bomb Breakfast Club, which is a group in Seattle for female founders. And they had angel investors on there to talk to us about all about the investment process and whether you invest directly or through a fund. And for anyone who doesn't know, angel investing is getting involved with a startup before it becomes public. And apparently 99% of the money is made before it ever hits the stock market and goes public. And getting involved in these type of investments are hard because the people that are running these funds, they don't advertise it to you. And if you don't hang out in the circles and you can't write like big checks, it could seem that you don't know how to get involved. But there are ways, like if you start hanging out with people that are involved in that type of stuff, you can. Now, in order to do this, you have to be an accredited investor. You have to make $200,000 a year as an individual, $300,000 or $300,000 as a household, or have over $1 million net worth, not including your house, among some other restrictions. This is something that you check a box saying that you're accredited. No one is like auditing you at all when you do this. But you obviously need to do that. And you need to have a belief that the next year you will make that money too. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to quit my job, but I'm going to qualify for the first time this year or something like that. But I'm very interested in this. Now, the FIRE community is typically about index funds, but on this podcast, I really want to push the edge and I want to explore as many different avenues as possible because we have the mainstream FI, if we could ever have mainstream in a movement like this that is very fringe. But I still want to explore all the different options, including these options for myself. So if anyone does angel investing, I would absolutely love to talk to you. If anyone feels like they want to share it on the podcast, I think that would be a great episode in 2020. But I'm very, very intrigued by it. Although, again, I am not a lawyer, I am not a financial professional, and I'm not a tax advisor. This podcast is for purely entertainment purposes only. So I'll put that disclaimer out there before anyone tries to jump into angel investing, which is generally considered kind of a more risky investment for sure. Okay, so I said all that because I am able to go to events like the one I went to last night pretty much all the time. And being a mother of a newborn, I don't like to be gone from the house very much. So the fact that I can just like get into an Uber, I used to take the bus, but I don't take the bus anymore because that adds a little too much time to be away from the baby. But I can just like be somewhere in 5 minutes. I really like that. And I like being connected to all these things that are things that really I'm passionate about and I want to follow more closely and hang out with people that kind of push my mind to explore ideas in different ways. So I really like the choice of the house. That being said, we expected that we'd be able to come into this house and renovate it fairly inexpensively. We got a quote to put a bathroom in our basement. It was $50,000. So that's not happening. So the kind of like Joanna Gaines, we're going to fix this up to be a dream house bungalow, young house love blog style. That's not going to happen for a while unless during the maternity, paternity leave thing that we're having in Q1 next year, unless the two of us suddenly get crafty, which we've been dabbling there, but we're not quite there yet. But the house is staying as is for now. Now, other types of things that happened last year. Okay, so on the money standpoint, we reached a significant net worth milestone for us, so that was really cool. Thank you to the stock market. We refinanced, loved that. I think we saved an extra $400, maybe $500 a month on our monthly payment. Now, we refinanced from a 30-year fixed into an ARM. We had an honest conversation with ourselves about, one, like, how long do we think we're going to stay in this house? And two, what are our personal assets compared to how much we have left on the house? And then three, like, are we comfortable taking the risk with an ARM? So for anyone who doesn't know, an ARM is not like a fixed interest rate. After a certain amount of time, it can reset. I think we did a 7-1 ARM. It's going to reset in 7 years. And typically when they start resetting, they're capped on how much they can charge you. But like, it depends on what the interest rates are like in the market at the time. And they could go up like pretty significantly. But if you think that you're going to refinance again within 7 years, if you could possibly pay it off within 7 years, if you want to take the chance that interest rates will continue to be lower in 7 years, maybe it makes sense to do an ARM. I mean, for us, it definitely made sense. But again, I don't know your personal situation. I am not a financial professional. So you should definitely look into it. But last time we did our house, we did like a 30-year fix. But I think we ended up selling it after 2 years. So maybe it would have made more sense to do an ARM. But that's how we got the monthly payment down so much. And also, for me, I mean, I'm totally planning on going back to my job right now. I'm a career person, but let's say that I wanted to be an entrepreneur a few years from now. Having a low monthly payment is attractive to me because I need like a little bit of financial runway to kind of kickstart. So it kind of depends, I guess, on like what you're planning on doing with your own life too. But overall, like refinancing was a really easy process. And yeah, I kind of regret not going with an ARM on our previous home. Other things. Oh, so another money change that I made this year. When I started learning about financial independence, I started going down the rabbit hole of like different places to store money. Like I did the traditional Roth IRA conversion, where if you were over the income limit to contribute to a Roth, you can get money in a Roth by contributing to a traditional, and then you can ultimately move it into the Roth. Now, doing all that is not that complicated. Like some websites make it like a one-click thing where you like kind of like put it in the traditional first and then you make it into the Roth. But I felt like doing all that tricky stuff was something that this year I wanted to leave behind. And I know that maybe that's an unpopular opinion, because in the financial community, in the FIRE community, typically when you save up a certain amount of money, like you get over a certain threshold, a lot of people like doing this type of tricky stuff. Another thing that I've done in the past is the backdoor Roth, where you're able to contribute after-tax money to your 401k if your employer allows it. But this year, my employer does not allow that as part of their plan. The plan does not allow that. And also in the past, I've done a solo 401k contribution too, because I make money on my business, and that was a good way when my husband wasn't hitting the full 18. At the time, it was 18. Now it's more than that. But when he wasn't hitting the full contribution, then we did that too. But this year, I decided that cash is king. And with everything going on in our life, we decided that we wanted to have more cash. We wanted to contribute more to our brokerage accounts. So for those of you who have listened all year, you may have noticed that I keep asking people that have early retired whether they decided to put more into their tax-advantaged accounts, like a 401k, or did they decide to put more money into a brokerage account or cash or something like that, just to kind of suss out what the feel in the community is right now. Because there are a lot of people who are retiring early with like significant tax deferred accounts, and there's ways that you can roll it over as you're, you know, spending down. But depending on like how much you plan to withdraw and all this stuff in your timeline and like what your goals are, it could make sense for you to have more cash. And I think like for my husband and I, with me wanting to get involved in some of these type of like other type of investments, like I mentioned angel investing, I would be maybe interested in like buying businesses or buying websites. We might be interested in like real estate. We might want to do some renovations on our house. It just kind of made more sense for us to keep our money here. Now, again, I'm not a financial advisor. This is purely entertainment only. and I'm not meaning this to be advice. It really is build your own BurgerFi, and you kind of have to find what type of model works for you and your family and your goals. And I think looking back, we learned about FIRE 4 or 5 years ago, and it's kind of cool to see how our journey has been. Because when we first started, we wanted to save as much as we possibly could, spend as little as we could, and be one of those stories, like I was talking about my friend of Purple Life who retired at age 30. But as I've sort of gotten to know myself more in my late 20s and now 30s, I realized that I am a little bit of a workaholic in a nice way, if that's a thing. And I don't really see myself not working by choice. Even right now, it's kind of hard for me to not be able to work as much as I used to. And I think instead, I'm going to find something I'm passionate about. And probably the things that I choose to work on will probably make money, because the side hustles that I seem to be gravitating to right now tend to make money. And I don't really see myself changing like my personality that much. Maybe I will, who knows? So in that case, we're just not in a rush to retire as fast as possible. Definitely still want to early retire. I can tell you now, when I've had people on this podcast in the past who may be full-time bloggers or podcasters, and we've kind of posed the question like, you know, why do you need to be financially independent or early retired if you have the flexibility and the freedom to like do something like that? I'll tell you, like, that is not early retirement. There is a lot of work that goes when you're blogging and podcasting at the scale that I've now become. There are tons of expenses. Like, for example, an email list of my size, which is considered kind of like maybe a smaller email list. Maybe not, depending on who you're talking to. Maybe smaller compared to some of the bigger FIRE podcasts. But it costs $1,200 a year to maintain that email list. And that's just email. I mean, there's hosting, there's tons of stuff. So I think the scale, if you want to be like a bigger scale blogger and podcaster and have greater impact and spread the message more, then it is like a job. And I'm realizing that more. It's definitely not FI. So if anyone wanted to be a blogger after FI or something, just keep in mind that if you want to make it a super big scale thing, it's going to be pretty difficult. But very rewarding, because obviously I'm still doing it because I love doing it. Okay, so let's switch topics for a little bit. Next, the best purchases that I have had in 2019. This is always a fun one. So two in particular stand out. I'm not going to do best spend in 2019 because, of course, I'm going to say the medical expenses for our lovely daughter, because we love her. But for like true purchases, we totally went for the smart home thing and we love it. Like, for a long time, I was dragging my feet. Is it worth the money? It's expensive, all this stuff. And even though I am probably aiming for more of like a fat FIRE approach, I definitely think that it was worth it for us to do this, because we live in a city and I have some peace of mind. But it definitely makes you more paranoid. If anyone is considering doing this and you live in a city, I mean, you will get Amazon packages stolen every day from your neighbor's doorsteps and it will be like a thing. Or, you know, seeing some creepy people wandering about, it will make you a little bit more paranoid about where you live. And definitely you can get sucked into it, just like any app. But we are really into that. And we also got light, like smart home lights to turn on and off the lights in our house. And we kind of think those are cool too. So that's one of the other ones. And then the second one, this is more of like a personal purchase, but I was buying really cheap raincoats for a long time, because when I was going through my, I really want to like save as much as possible thing, then I really wouldn't let myself buy very expensive clothes. Now, living in Seattle, it definitely rains a lot. It hasn't rained a lot this year, but it does. I would get like pretty soaked going into work. Like one of my coats, my shoulders would get soaked. Another one, like my legs would be really soaked, because these rain jackets typically are made for like light rain, or they're just not long enough that you might get online. So I ordered myself a fancier raincoat from Sea Salt and Cornwall, which is some UK brand. And I figured that people in the UK really know about rain, because I think it rains a lot there too, from what I've been told. I've only been there once. It did not rain. But I'm loving this coat. And the cool thing is that when I went to buy the coat, when I changed the shipping address from the UK to the US, all of a sudden it took off 40 euros or something. I don't know. They didn't advertise the sale. I don't know where it went, but I will just take that money and be happy with it. So I'm loving that coat right now. Perfect length, nice insulation so that it doesn't get too cold on me, because that was another thing. Like, a lot of rain jackets were made for, you either had a choice. You could do like full on Weather Channel reporting in the middle of a tornado, or you could do super light. So I'm glad that this one is somewhere in the middle, and I'm very pumped about it. Okay, so next thing, side hustles. So this year, I know those of you that have listened for a long time, you know that I am a blogger and a podcaster, and I have an Etsy store, and those are my side hustles. But you may not know that my husband is also a super side hustler. So he's a professor, instructor at a university, so he has the summers off. And he decided to team up with a previous employer of his to run strength and conditioning trainings at army bases. So he did that, and it was like really lucrative, like $3,000 a week or something like that. So he would go to whatever army base, and they would pay him to teach the leaders there the movements that they should be teaching their soldiers when they're overseas or deployed. So he had that side hustle going, and I think he made like $10,000 on that. And then he also does online training. So I started dragging him to these fire events a few years ago, and the first couple times he kind of like bummed around because he wasn't traditionally a fire person, although he has totally come around. And now I've even heard him like kind of giving money advice to people, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is fantastic. But he ended up meeting like Brandon from The Mad Scientist and started coaching Brandon in, I would call it like personal training, kind of weight training type stuff. And then he was on Brandon's podcast. And after being on that podcast, people reached out to him, and he does some online training now. So he has that side hustle going for him too. So even though I am the super side hustler, I guess I'm married to a super side hustler, and we are very side hustly as a family. Although right now, when you have full-time jobs and side hustles and baby, it's like an absolute nightmare. So in 2020, we need to figure out how to be super, super, super focused on what's important to us. But if anyone here is looking in the new year to beef up or get fit, definitely Doug is an expert and the real deal. So he doesn't have a fancy website. Actually, somebody who was listened to Brandon's podcast went to his website and was like, hey, do you want me to help you with this website? But my husband has really no intention on being like a digital person like me. So he was like, I think he politely declined and just like, he's happy. He thinks it's fine the way it is, which, you know, you guys will see, if you go on there, you'll see it's kind of a little bit interesting. But it's monumentalstrength.trainerize.com. So yeah, monumentalstrength.trainerize, like trainer, IZE.com, if anyone's interested in working with him and doing monthly programs. He doesn't offer nutrition right now because he's one of those big people that thinks like you need to be certified in order to offer advice. Definitely does not want to be one of those 7-minute abs Instagram people. But he is taking a certification course right now through Precision Nutrition, and I think he's going to offer nutrition in 2020. So anyways, the two of us are like crazy side hustlers, and we realized this year that I think my husband, 1/3 of his income this year came from side hustles, like kind of like a crazy, like he increased his income 133% from the previous year just from doing this type of stuff. And then similarly for me as well. But now we realize that we need to pay estimated taxes. So if anyone has never done quarterly estimated taxes, if you don't withhold enough during the year, you have to pay the government for that upfront. So we are starting to navigate this world of self-employment on the side. And truthfully, I need to figure out like next year what the plan is. Because before, whenever I heard of bloggers or podcasters going full-time, and maybe some of you harbored these opinions as well, you might think like, that's kind of interesting. That person went full-time and, you know, now their path to FI is through their platform, and it's kind of like a weird conundrum. But I totally get it, because if you are doing this stuff at the scale that these people are doing it, it's a lot. It's truly a lot to do with your job. And then if you happen to have a family too, it's like crazy. So yeah, I need to do some rethinking, but this is too important to me to give up. So this will not be the thing that gets cut, but we'll have to see. Okay, so goals for next year for me. So I probably just mentioned that I need to streamline and figure out what's important to me. I really want to get some more stuff up in my Etsy shop. I feel like this year I did not put as much up in the bachelorette party space. I did put up some new listings in the holiday party theme. I put up a ugly sweater party, cookie exchange, white elephant, all these type of invitations. and I'm using the new editable software called Corjl, C-O-R-J-L. So for anyone who is doing Etsy stuff too, you have to pay for this monthly subscription, but it might be cool to look into, where it allows the customer to edit themselves. And that will make your listings more attractive, maybe, because, and also more, I mean, I'm not going to say anything's passive, but less work for you if you did offer customized stuff before, because the customer can edit on this website and they can do it on mobile too, which is cool. So I practiced with that, with these new invites, but I kind of want to have more time to do that next year. And then from a fitness perspective, so having a super fit, healthy eating husband, you would think like maybe I would be into that all the time, but I have known Doug since January of 2012. And at the beginning I was like, yeah, I'm fit too. Like I played a sport in college and I totally like tried to go eye for eye for him. And then life, I just reverted back to my normal self. Now, before the baby, I used to work out every single day and lift all the time, not to the level that he does. He is a Olympic lifting expert. So, you know, like those, the barbell and the big weights, that type of thing. But I just want to get back to doing stuff. And part of that is like negotiating with him, like, you know, time for me to leave the house to do this and like fit everything else in. So I hope to get in shape. I'm sure many of you probably have the same goals next year. From a financial perspective, because I'm doing the paid leave through Washington, I'm not getting paid through my employer anymore for this next maternity leave. If I get approved, I'm going to need to budget a lot better than I used to. I'm definitely an earn more, path to fi person. And I had a lot of convenience spending that helped support all these different side hustles and gave me like even like an extra hour every day. Now, for me, that spending is valuable, because let's say that I spent like $15 on convenience spending, I would probably have the ability using that 1 hour to make more money than that with all my side hustles after expenses. Now, next year, I will need to take all of my side hustles and take them on a severe diet. I spent over $25,000 this year in business expenses. So that needs to go on a diet. And then also, we need to get better about budgeting as a family. So I'm super excited to learn more from those of you that budget. I've heard awesome things about you need to budget. We need to at least get like some type of like budgeting thing, like super tight, because we're going to have a very different cash flow situation at the beginning of the year, which I'm excited about us having this time. But and I've like learned a lot about it through 180 something episodes in this podcast, but definitely like this is the first time that we've really need to get our budget straight. And also, I don't know how the state pays you. Like the state could pay maybe at the end of it. Like I have no idea. So we definitely need to figure this out. And then from a like life goals perspective, so my husband's been getting a lot into music. He is building a ukulele, all this stuff. I think I'm going to pause on like my goals. We got a guitar for me and we went to a conference together, kind of like me supporting his goals, because he always goes to conferences with me and supports mine. We went to Tony Polcastro's Acoustic Life Festival last year, which was really cool. But I think I'm going to pause on that because I can't do a million things at once, but I do need to pick up some sort of non-digital hobby. So I'm trying sewing. We made our daughter a stocking and it came out kind of bad, but you know what? It's the thought that counts. And you know, it's cute. We used a cute fabric for it. But let me tell you, my foot was lead on that sewing pedal and I almost sewed my finger. So we really need to figure out how to safely sew, but I think that might be a good hobby for me. And also I got the Cricut Maker, I've been tracking it on Camel Camel Camel. Camel 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 is a website that tracks Amazon prices, and you can put in like a price alert and it will email you if it goes below the price that you set. So I was tracking the Cricut Maker, and I think on Cyber Monday in the morning, for one of the colors of the Cricut, it went down really low enough for me to justify getting it. So I'm very excited about using this thing but I'm going to use it for crafting, because when I originally bought it, I was like, oh, I can make bachelorette party wine glasses, and I can get vinyl, and I can like put the vinyl on the cups, and I can get the cups from the dollar store, and then I can sell them for like $15 each. And this is how crazy people like me think, because everything has to be like some type of optimization. But I am actually just going to use it for myself for crafts. So please, somebody, hold me to that. If you see me start trying to list things on Etsy or like post on my blog about some type of like Cricut thing, someone just needs to like give me like a reality Instagram DM slap or something, because I just need to focus on like finding intrinsic value in my hobbies just for the sake of doing them and not trying to make everything into like this huge thing, because for some reason that's who I am. Okay, well, that's all about me and everything I have going on this year. I am super excited to hear from you though. Like, what are your goals for this year? Do you want to be on this podcast? For those of you on my email list, you can join that at firedrillpodcast.com. I sent out a solicitation. I'm trying to line up guests for next year. I would love to invite you guys on if you have a story that you want to share. So please do email me, jay@firedrillpodcast.com, if you think like you would be a great fit. And by the way, you don't have to like be, what I like about my podcast is that I bring on a lot of people that I really pride myself in trying to find undiscovered stories or people that became, who are going to become big things in the fire community with cool stories, but they're not there yet. So please do, like, don't feel like you shouldn't put yourself forward unless you're like a big blogger. That's not a thing at all. Not for me. I'd love to hear from you. And even if you just want to say hi, the best place to say hi to me is on Instagram. I've been more active there lately, mostly because I spend a lot of time with the baby and I have like one free hand, and the Instagram is how I stay connected to the world. But that's where I am. All right, well, I will let you guys go. Again, I am taking the next 2 weeks off, family time, holiday time, and I'll catch you in the new year. Bye.